A reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down there again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I had a friend in college who worked as a personal care attendant at a local nursing home. She was going to be a nurse, and at this position learned firsthand some of the hardships that come from being in this caring profession. Conversations at the nurse's station let her in on some of the less rosy parts of the job. So that year for Halloween, she went as the inner nurse. She wore a pair of scrubs inside out and wrote on it all the things that nurses might want to say, but that they keep inside for the sake of maintaining a cheery disposition. For example, "Living the dream," said no night shift nurse ever. "I've seen it, smelled it, touched it, heard it, and stepped in it. All of it. Only two things are guaranteed in this life: death and staying after shift to finish charting." For someone who's short of breath, you sure do talk a lot. That costume opened my eyes to some of what nurses go through. And Darlene's laughter makes me think it's not so far off. Today's scripture is a similar glimpse into the prophetic inner life. We overhear the prophet Elijah's harried and overwhelmed self-talk, or what we could call the inner prophet. He's on the run here from King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, really feeling sorry for himself. First, he lays down under a shrub and asks to just die. Just take me now, O God. But God instead sends an angel to feed him there. Then he marches through the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights to get to the mountain of God. When he gets there, it's Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai. This is the mountain of Moses and the Ten Commandments. This mountain is God's home. And sure enough, God finds Elijah there too. Hey, Elijah, what are you doing here? Then Elijah's self-centered inner prophet complaint comes pouring out. I've been very zealous for you, O God. The Israelites have done all sorts of terrible things to your prophets and to your name. I'm the only one left of all your prophets, and they're hunting for me now. Elijah is practically hysterical, overwhelmed by all that he's been about. And then God does a most interesting thing. God says, hey, stand here and pay attention, because I'm about to come by. Elijah was going to get a chance to see God. See God in the same place that Moses once saw God. Elijah knew what to expect when God showed up. This was Yahweh, the God who led the people through the wilderness in a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. There could be lightning or thunder, a giant hurricane storm. It might be a burning bush or fire come down from heaven. It would surely be the greatest thing that Elijah has ever experienced. God was going to show up for Elijah. A great wind comes up then. So great that it breaks rocks open and splits entire mountains, but God is not in the whirlwind. And then an earthquake shakes the whole land there, but God is not in the earthquake. There's a blazing hot fire, but you guessed it, God is not in the fire. Finally, after all these incredible experiences, there comes a sound of sheer silence. Then Elijah lifts his mantle, his prophet's robe, and he covers his face, because it's a fearful and holy thing to truly come into God's presence. For Elijah, God's not in all the fancy pyrotechnics. God arrives in the sound of sheer silence. Silence can be a powerful experience, especially when everything else around us is noise and lots of it. How often do we truly find silence in our lives? Have you found it? Not I. It's hard to come by, especially if your life is anything like mine. And not all silence, let's be clear, leads to Elijah's kind of spiritual encounter with God. His is a deep kind of silence, rooted in the earth, restful stillness, after all the over-the-top activity has stopped. It's a kind of peaceful awareness, watchfulness, because God is about to show up. It's nothing less than the holy appearance of God. This is why periodic retreats are so important to the spiritual life. They're a break from all the hustle and bustle of our days, a chance to step back and pay attention, to look for where God is showing up. It's another reason we come to church week by week. A regular spiritual practice of stillness, centering ourselves to be aware, listening, looking, waiting for God's presence. Sometimes we, including your worship leaders, are like Elijah, on a mission, running from or to something, doing one thing after another, caught up in the fire, the wind, the earthquake, and anything else we might imagine or fear. We need periodic times of stillness and silence, all of us, to balance out the other activities that can distract us from the things that matter most. This isn't to say that all silence is created equal. Let's be clear. Sometimes silence can be oppressive. Silence in the face of sinful injustice. Silence around the ecological dangers of our consumption as human beings. Silence around the inequalities that women face, or unchecked sexual harassment in our society. Silence around the ways that greed takes advantage of human need. Silence is not always good by itself. What makes the difference for silence to be divine rather than deadly is when it leads into something more. When the God who shows up in silence leads us out of silence into action. Holy silence like that which Elijah experiences begins with stillness, but it doesn't stay there. His kind of silence is a preparation for action. It's the bounce in the spring before you step. It involves retreating from all the other noises in life in order to listen for God's call under everything else. The Hebrew phrase for what Elijah hears is a bit ambiguous. The translation Mary read from renders it the sound of sheer silence. But if you look in other translations, you'll hear it as a still small voice. The Hebrew word kol there can mean either sound or voice. So both translations are right. Deep within the silence, it seems, there is a voice. There is a call. Divine silence helps us to hear God's voice, God speaking about where we are to go next. Elijah doesn't stay in the silence, which is where we finish today's reading. He's commissioned from there. He's sent out. By the end of the passage, he hears God say, "Go, return on your way to Damascus." There's a list of the kings there that Elijah is to anoint, and a promise of 7,000 others who are faithful like Elijah. Where he thought he was all by himself out there, here comes a new call coming out of his encounter with God in silence, and a gentle reminder that Elijah is not, in fact, by himself. Where will that kind of clarity and purpose find you? This week? This day? Where will we hear God's voice in the midst of all the rest? Maybe it's the silences between the sounds here, and then in the gentle bread and cup that will be passed through the pews, bread for our own 40 days journey. The silence of putting your feet up maybe at the end of a long day. The quiet stillness of telling children stories at bedtime. It may be as simple as taking breaths while at a stoplight to calm your mind when it's racing everywhere else. Or even a tiny break for breath in the middle of a sentence. Silence comes to us. God comes to us, bidden and unbidden, then calls us from there into where we are to go next. So trust that silence can be a vehicle for the voice and presence of God. Let those moments be pregnant pauses, a chance for us to hear what God is birthing into the world and into our lives anew. God's call in the still small voice gives us the courage and strength to go out again along our own wilderness ways to the Damascuses that call for our attention, our love, and our work. May God find us here and everywhere in the sound of silence. Amen.